by putting your trust in them. Now, I know God give us relationships that bless us and that we receive from one another and things like that. But, you know, God is the ultimate source. I'm talking about somebody just take you out of the will of God because they just got something they want you to do. You know, maybe you've been broken. Maybe you're going through a painful experience right now. But if you'll place your life into the loving hands of Jesus, if you'll let Christ be the pot of your life, then I'm going to tell you that he will make a difference in you. He'll cause your attitude, your emotions. He'll just reform your whole life. When you start trusting God, you see things different. When you yield to God and allow God to take out, you know, things that's not pleasing to him, it may be a painful thing of you letting go some things that you really used to like to do. But you do it for his glory. And I'm going to tell you, nothing that you give up can compare to what you receive. Amen. You're not starting over because of unexpected things that happen. It's never too late for God to work in your life his wonderful plan. Amen. He can make your life so different that the former life will become a distant memory. God can make your life so good that you'll be so glad that you ain't living like you used to live. How many believers can attest to that? Boy, I tell you, I wouldn't go back to who I used to be for nothing in the world. Man, that man dead and gone. And he ain't about to get resurrected. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm in the plan of God. But you got to keep seeking him. You got to keep pursuing God. You got to stay in that word. You got to keep obeying. And then you have to keep listening. You got to listen to what he's telling you to do. Amen. You got to listen. Now, I got a book out there that I'll give to anybody that don't have it called Spending Time with God. We'll give you a starting place on how to fellowship with God, how to spend time with him. Because a major part of spending time with God and staying on the wheel is learning how to listen to what he's speaking to you after you read, after you pray, after you praise and worship. You read the script, you don't just read and say, I did my devotion and gone. You prayed. Soon as you finish praying, up off your knees, gone. You ain't even listen. You need to build listening time into what you're doing. You need to listen to him. You need to say, Lord, is there anything that you want to speak to me? Is there any scripture you want to impress upon me right now? And you listen. And you know, you listen for a few moments there for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. If nothing happened, then you go on with what you got planned for that day. But then stay open all day. God, I'm listening. Because he can tell you where to go, who to talk to, what to do. You can let him order your steps. That's what it means to stay on that wheel, is that you are available to him 24/7 for him to direct you, to instruct you, and even to correct you. You see, God has a good plan for you, but you have to repent of the evil. You have to let go of all that evil stuff and say, God, I just want your will. And you just die. Y'all not starting over. You just refire. There's a new clothing. He's just clothing you different. So don't be afraid to take off the old clothes and let God put some new clothes on you. It ain't no shame in that. Some of y'all feel like you're having to start over. You come to an impasse in your life and say, I done messed this life up. I'm going to tell you, I was 21 years old and I knew I had messed my life up. I said, I done messed this life up. This life all messed up. God, I done made a mess of this life. I said, can you do something with me? I was at a place where I had no purpose. I said, Lord, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't got no purpose. I don't know why I'm here. And I was so empty inside that I said, Lord, I can't take 80 or 90 years of this. I can't live old in this state. I said, I just ain't going to do it. I said, so Jesus, if you can do anything with me, change my life today. And I was so serious about it that I told him, I said, if you don't change my life today, then you ain't real. And there ain't no Jesus, and all this ain't nothing but a fairy tale. I said, but Lord, I believe in you. I said, would you take me today? Forgive me. I done messed up. And then the Lord gave me a vision. He said, I'll give you a reason to live. And he gave me a vision with a giant chalkboard, had all my sins written on it. Sin written on top of sin. It wasn't even a clear spot for you to even write another sin. Sin written on top, just white with my sins, with little bitty spots of green, you know. It's a chalkboard. And I saw him take an eraser about like this right here. And he started erasing that board. He erased the whole board. And then when he finished cleaning the board, he looked at me and he said, see, I have forgiven you all your sins. They're all gone. I don't remember them anymore. And I looked at that board and I saw not a single mark. And something happened in my heart. And I prayed a prayer and I said, Lord, help me not to mess the board up again. Help me keep it clean. See what happened. The desire for sin left me. I didn't want to do wrong after that. I just wanted to do what's pleasing to him. What did I do that day? That day, I climbed up on the wheel. I put myself there. You know, you had to lay your life down. I laid my life down. I got up on the wheel. And I didn't know I was doing that, but this is what I really did. I got up on the wheel and I said, Lord, make me what I need to be. Fashion me according to your will. My whole life belonged to you. Then, I'm going to tell you what. You ain't got to be saved 10 years to hear God. God started cleaning my life up right then. And I got around good people. You got to have good people in your life. I had Ricky and Robert and a whole bunch of Larry Brown, guys on fire for Jesus. And boy, I tell you, that's all that he became our life. And I'm going to tell you, we went through the pain of having God stop some things that we used to enjoy. We died to some stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, the joy that was given in return for what we gave up can't be compared to. Can't be compared to. I wouldn't go back from. I say, man, I tell people, I burn all the bridges behind me. I ain't no way I'd go back to that. You just go ahead and take me out right now. I ain't going back. I'll never let Jesus go. I love him with all my heart till the day I die. And that's a commitment that you have to make. And when you make that commitment, you climb up on the wheel and you say, okay, Jesus, make me in your image. Just like what you want me to be. Hallelujah. I submit to the process of dying and living. You live and you die. You die and you live. You keep living for him. You keep dying on what you want. You keep living for what pleases him. When you do that, then the potter will take all the broken pieces, all that the clay that's been marred, your life that's been marred, and I'll tell you what, he's got a beautiful plan. He knows how to put it back together again. And he's not going to make an old you. The Bible says he made another. He don't make an old you. He make you into a person you ain't never been before. He put things in you you've never had in you. Cause you to walk in a way you've never walked. And make you think different. Amen. Ask God to make you over. Put your life in his hands. Trust him. Let him mold and shape you. And beautify you into what he wants you to be. Glory to God.
Glory to God. You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you afresh for this privilege today to hear your word. We pray that you give us clarity of mind and thought. Allow the Holy Ghost to take your word and unfold it, illuminate it so that we might not only hear, but understand. And after understanding, practice. And oh God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In the blessed and wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
God bless you. We're going to study today from the book of Proverbs. We're going to talk about a walk through the word of wisdom.
Hallelujah.
I have so many scriptures that we won't ask you to remain standing. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're talking about a walk through the word of wisdom. If you look at this 18th chapter of Proverbs, it's a wellspring of wisdom, if you will. And there are four particular areas in this 18th chapter that the writer deals with that I want to speak about this morning. The first area has to do with wisdom. Wisdom. You write these down if you have your pen and paper, because as words of wisdom, it would do you well to study them even after we have preached them today. Wisdom. Skip a little space and then put down words, because that's the next area of interest in this 18th chapter, words. Skip a little space and write down wealth. Wealth. Skip a little space, and the final thought that we're going to deal with is wrangling. Wrangling. W-R-A-N-G-L-I-N-G. Wrangling. That's to dispute angrily, to bicker. All right, now, if we look at verse 1 of this 18th chapter of Proverbs, verse 1 says, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Verse 2 says, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. And verse 15 says, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Now, we're dealing with wisdom, and so under wisdom, these are the three verses that chapter 18 gives us to deal with. First, when we talk about verse 1, and talks about through the desire man has, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Literally means when a man has made up his mind about doing a thing, he will do whatever it takes. He will defy all sound judgment, all sound doctrine, all sound principles to get his way. It doesn't matter what laws he breaks. It doesn't matter who he hurts. When he has his mind made up, he's going to do what pleases him. Verse 2 says this. It says, a fool hath no delight in understanding. Now, what somebody, you know, who ever fits the description of a fool doesn't understand is that without understanding, you can never, even if you get what you're seeking after, never fully appreciate it if you don't understand it. But a fool don't have no use for understanding, That fool just wants what they want at whatever cost, at whatever price, at whatever suffering, in whatever way. When they desire a thing and they want that thing, they have no delight in understanding how it operates with other things, how it operates independent of things, how it's going to affect you now, later, and after a while. A fool doesn't think about nothing but the moment. How many of us have made foolish decisions for the moment? I mean, it can be simple as buying something on impulse, I mean, and didn't consider the consequences. You know, didn't consider the fact that you didn't have it in your budget. You just had to have it right now. And then after getting it, you decided, you know, it wasn't really worth all that you had to go through, something that went unpaid, et cetera, for this foolish decision, because you didn't really take the time to understand how buying on impulse would affect you later. So you got on a cute outfit and you're sitting in the dark. I mean, I could go on and give other illustrations, but you get my point. Didn't consider the understanding of all the other things that work along with that. We want things many times, but don't understand how those things will affect us, not only in the now, but also in the later. A fool had no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. In other words, revealing its own mind or revealing its own thoughts or its own opinions or its own decisions. And so a fool doesn't care what you think. A fool doesn't care how you feel. A fool doesn't care what impartation of truth you bring. If it doesn't line up with what they want, it's like, forget that. I ain't even trying to hear that. And so that's their mindset. Now, as we move on to words, there's a little more to say about words in this 18th chapter. Look at verse 4, and I'll read all of the verses, if you will. And matter of fact, if you're writing, let me just give them to you, and then we'll visit them. Verse 4, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 20, and verse 21. Now, these are dealing with words. Look at what verse 4 says. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing or bubbling brook. The words of a man's mouth are deep. Now, these are talking about words of wisdom. People who have wisdom seem to get a profound sense of truth. And when there is an understanding of how to speak out of wisdom, it's like it is so rich and so deep and so refreshing that when they give a word of counsel, a word of advice, a word of encouragement, it blesses you because the word is like cooling water that refreshes a hot, thirsty soul. And that's the impact of words in a positive sense. But look at what verse 6 says. It says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Now, this is an interesting verse, because this is the flip side of the negativity of words. Look at what it says. A fool's lips enter into contention, into strife, into arguments, into those things that make for a bad communication or conversation. But look at what it goes on to say. And his mouth calleth for strokes. The word strokes here means beatings. You know, grandma and mom and them say, don't let your mouth write a check. Y'all knew the rest of that. I won't fill it in. But it says you're calling for a beating. Keep on talking. Keep on. Keep on running your head. Go ahead. You asking for it. Have y'all never heard that? That's biblical. When you understand, look again at what the word says. A fool's lip enter contention. Some folk just, they seem like they're just begging to start mess. Begging to make things that are not bad, bad, just by their negativity and all of those things that they say that are hurtful and harmful. And they'll take you out of that place if they're not careful. And don't fool yourself. If you hang around a fool with a contentious mouth long enough, you will become enraged. And sooner or later, if you don't have the wisdom to walk away, you're going to start fighting or retaliating in some kind of way that's not a godly way. That's why you got to understand, a fool is aching for a breaking. And some folk just had that in their spirit. I mean, they're just negative. They're humbuggish. They're ornery. I mean, and that's all they like. They like that kind of mess. They ain't happy unless they starting something. And if you hang around a fool like that long enough, you will be in that situation, because sooner or later, you're going to lose your cool. Now look again, because I want you to see verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. So very clear there. Again, a fool's mouth is his destruction. You don't have to worry about tearing a fool down. A fool's mouth going to do that himself. All you got to do is just let a fool talk, and a fool will talk him or herself right into their own destruction. Talk themselves right out of a blessing. Yes. Talk themselves into a place where they miss out on what God has for them. Now look again. It says, and his lips are the snare of his soul. It's the trap of his own soul. You know, it's one thing when other folk hurt you. It's another when you hurt yourself. Yeah. It's one thing when you trap yourself up with your own mouth. You have nobody to blame but who? But self. Now look at verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now, again, does anybody know what a talebearer is? You know, it's not just somebody who talks or just gossips. It's one who purposely transports, takes mess, delivers mess to somebody specifically. A tale bearer. You can tell tales and don't have to go nowhere, and it don't go too far. But when you're a tale bearer, and with all of our, you know, modern technologies, we can text a tale. We can telephone a tale. We can video message a tale. We can go on in so many different ways. But bearing the tale means that we purposely want to drive it beyond where it presently is. You ain't happy till somebody else know the lie, know the gossip, know the whisperings. Those are tale bearers. Look again at what it says. Y'all are getting quiet this morning. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. Now, you don't know what wounds are, don't you? Yeah. Wounds are cuts. Wounds are cuts in the flesh. But notice again how the word is describing it. And they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So it might start off in cutting you bodily, or cutting you what seemed to be on the surface. But talebearers who tell tales realize again the effect that they're causing, and it gets to the point that it hits you in the innermost. It goes like an infection from a wound. You might get caught, but if the infection or cut, but if you get cut, it just doesn't stop right there. That thing gets in the blood system, and it goes deep underneath the skin and affects all of the innermost parts of the body. So what you don't realize is what little tale you start off telling could be something so scandalous and so hurtful and so harmful that it does destruction underneath the skin, when you really might not have thought that it was all of that big. Wasn't that big a deal? But that's one of the problems that fools encounter in tale bearing. I want you to look at verse 20. Look at what verse 20 says. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruits of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Now, here again, this is another illustration of sharing and showing how what you speak ultimately comes back to you. If you speak good, good's going to come back. And guess what? It literally means that one day you're going to eat your words. Now, you don't mind eating your words if your words are tasty. But if your words are not tasty, and you have to eat them one day, because what you gave back, you didn't realize was coming back. And so you gave them out bitter as bitter herbs, et cetera, et cetera. One day when they come back, that's what's going to fill your belly. what left out of your mouth, it created a harvest. And the bad thing about it is that one apple seed produced a whole apple tree. And with that came a whole lot more than you bargained for when you let it go. Listen again at what it says. It says, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Again, it's a continual progress and process of increase. When we speak, whether it's positive or negatively, it kind of flows, and as it flows, it grows, and as it grows, the return is like a harvest. It also returns in that same way. And look at what verse 21 says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life, which means there's always a choice in saying whatever it is you say. Nobody can make you say. You may allow them to bring you to a point where your temper is inflamed, and so you say some things that, I mean, you know you shouldn't say, but you have control. You have a choice. To speak negatively or speak positively is but an outgrowth of where you are and who you are. And so the truth of the matter is, it's difficult to speak positively when you are negatively charged. See, some folk just can't say nothing good and kind and right and proper to save their souls because it ain't in them. What comes up, the old folks say, comes out. I mean, it is a regurgitation process. And so it literally means you cannot bring back up from you what has not been placed down in you. The Holy Ghost, in bringing back to your remembrance, cannot bring back to your remembrance what you never, ever knew. So that's why you've got to understand the principle here and understand the operation of it, because when you understand that, you're going to get back what you give. See, and a whole lot of us give back what we get. See, in other words, no matter if negativity has come to you, you don't have to give back negativity. You can give positiveness. If wrong has come to you, you don't have to give back wrong. You can give back right. But a whole lot of us give back what we get. And so it's a choice you make. And death and life, both of them on an equal footing. You make the choice. You deal with the consequences. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. See, the devil don't want you to really know when you say stupid stuff, crazy stuff, unsensible, unreasonable stuff, how all of that stuff ultimately affects your life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think it, you're going to keep speaking it. If you keep speaking it, you keep ordering it to come back to you in the natural realm. So it doesn't really matter what folks say about you, is what you say about folk. What you say about yourself. How you speak concerning you. How you speak concerning others. You can speak death or life to a situation. You could see something one way, and yet the power of the tongue has the ability to change what is seen. You shouldn't speak to what you see. You should be able to speak to what you know. And if you speak to what you know, it'll change what you see. So listen at this. Again, death and life are in. Say are in. Death and life are in. It's within the makeup of. In the makeup of. Somebody say makeup of. It is the same makeup as God had in the beginning in the book of Genesis. When God spoke and everything he spoke, it happened. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your situation can change if you change all that you think and now all that you feel. And all of that can't change unless, again, you've got proper content, which is the word of God. See, what you've got to realize is what affects your mouth is what goes in your eyes and what goes in your ear and what you think and process in your mind. So if the stuff that's going in you, can I tell you, if you're cooking a meal, it don't matter how good a cook you are if the ingredients aren't any good. It ain't gonna come out right. So real, you know, good cooks and chefs know that you want to use the freshest and the best ingredients to make what you know how to make come out right. You can't get no, you know.